Well, I hope you're all warm enough. So I had the job of finalising this talk yesterday. And it was hot, so I'm going to just show you, just to amuse you, three little pictures of my journey from yesterday through the heat. So if you can click on Russell for the first picture. So here's me, big bottle of cold water, sitting in front of the computer. It doesn't look like it there, but the blinds and the curtains were closed, so trying to keep cool. Second picture, this is DIY aircon. I have to say the internet recommended it, and it does work. So pop your ice cubes. And then here we go, third, this is where I ended up. I ended up in the garden with my feet in the dog's paddling pool, which he was not amused by, but tolerated it. So I just thought we'd have a little look at where we've come from, because we started this series over 3 months ago. It was on the 1st of May with Andy. Now, I don't know about you, but that's a long time ago. You know, what's happened since then? We've had record-breaking temperatures. We had Josh and No Josh. We had the Commonwealth Games. The Lionesses won the Euros. Yay! We had an interlude with the mini-series on The Battle Belongs to the Lord. We've had another heat wave. We've had a drought. The war continues in Ukraine. It's been a long time since we started. So I just thought I'd just run through very, very quickly all of the sessions that we've had before. So, first one, back in May, we were created. So Andy took us through Genesis, and we looked at how we were created in God's image. How sin came into our lives, and we were scared, we had shame, and we were hiding from God. With Josh, we looked at Martha and about sitting at God's feet and being in God's presence by sitting at his feet. Russell took us through the journey on the road to Emmaus, walking with Jesus. With Jemima, we looked at true rest. What is that true rest when you rest in God? With Ron, we delighted. We delighted in being with God. Julia took us through healing and touching God. And Jamie talked about hearing God in the whisper, in that small voice. And for me, I think it's been fantastic. I think we've had a fantastic series. We've dipped in and out of lots of different ways we can meet with God, be in his presence. But I was left feeling a bit overwhelmed with it all. And I was going through, I mean, this is my brain. So this is my tick list brain. I'm a tick list brain person. I was going, right, oh, yeah, created, yeah, created in God's image. Oh, yeah, I've sat with God. Yeah, I've done some walking with God. Yeah, rested. Oh, yeah, delighted. Yeah, oh, touching, tick. Oh, my life. You know, and I did all of that on each of those days. So the day after created, I was like, oh, yes, I made an image of God. Yay! Praise God. You know, next week we're sitting with God, and I'm like, oh, I haven't sat with God for a while, so, okay, now I'm going to go and do some sitting with God. You know, walking, you know, every day, every week, it's like, oh, you know, I just started to feel a bit overwhelmed with it all. I just started to think, oh, it's hard work, this. It's hard work. And it just got me thinking, how do we continue? How do we continue in God's presence? How does it become who we are rather than what we're doing? And adjust, for me, it's actually really simple, I think. Having pondered a lot, having prayed a lot, having read a bit, I thought it's so easy to get overwhelmed with so much to do. But actually, I thought, let's just pare it back a bit. Let's just get rid of some of the rubbish. So Alan said to me, I'm going to do this little pray thing. So I don't want to steal your thunder or anything. So Looking at the clock, thank you, Alan, because you've just taken probably about 20 minutes off for me. Brilliant. No, it's great, it's great. Gilly said to me, I said, I've just got a few notes, don't really know where it's all going. Gilly said, that's okay, it's really hot, short is good. So thanks for your encouragement, everyone. So I just thought I'd just do a little bit of history for a few sentences on where we are with the book of Deuteronomy, because I think it's going to help in the next bit that I want to talk about. So the whole book of Deuteronomy recounts Moses' words to the Israelites as they waited to enter the promised land. They're not there yet. He's urging them not to make the same mistakes of the past, but to go forward. Previously, they had failed to secure the border to the promised land that would have enabled them to enter. One generation before. They're looking at the promised land. It's there. But they haven't entered yet. He's imploring them to be faithful and to keep the law, to trust and obey. Now, chapter 5, Moses outlined again the Ten Commandments to the people. They'd first been given in the book of Exodus. Between then, the Ten in Exodus, and now in Deuteronomy, the Israelites had turned them into 613 laws. So we've gone from 10 commands to 613. No wonder they struggled to keep them all. Hard going. But I think that we have a struggle with that. We have a struggle with God, and we have a struggle with keeping God's commands. And so I just want to go through a little bit through the passage, section by section, just to have a look at why that might be and what our challenges are. So, in the first section, verses 1 to 3, we look at, so I'll reread it. It says, these are the commands, decrees and laws that your Lord your God directed me to teach you, to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live, by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and that you may enjoy long life. Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord your God, your father, promised you. So that's simple, really. You know, why do we keep God's commands? Why is he asking us to keep his commands here? So that things will go well with you. I think we all want that. We all want things to go well. The Israelites had not kept God's commands, and things had not really gone very well for them. You know, all the way from Genesis through to here, you know, trouble and strife and problems and people getting, you know, moaning and whinging, and I think we all do a bit of that. And here, and throughout the Bible, the Old Testament, the New Testament, God promises us that things will go well. But, I'm afraid, everyone, bad news, it's conditional. Things we don't like to think about in the Bible, you know, things are conditional. God doesn't just say, oh, okay, you over there, that's it, no problems for you. You're going to live well and prosper and it's going to be lovely. I mean, he can do, but he doesn't. We all have these troubles, these strifes, but God wants us to live in a way that things go well for us, that we have peace, that we have shalom in our lives. But the key words here, obey the commands. What's that, the 613, the Ten Commandments, or what are they? So there's, you know, oh, this is all going around my head. And so I just want to have a little look at the commands and God. So before we can open up and look at the commands, I just want to have a little think about God. So these are God's commands. This is God's commands from God's word, from God's Bible. But which God? Which God's commands are you keeping? Is that God of the Bible? Or is that your own God? Bear with me here. It can be very easy to create God in our own image and not to worship God of the Bible. There are lots and lots of this, lots of commands that we don't like. There are lots of passages that we find really difficult, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. You know, some of you who have been very long in the tooth, I'm sure, are still grappling with Revelation. What's going on in most of Revelation? You can read 15 different books about it and they'll all tell you something different. We can play pick and mix with God. We can play pick and mix with the Bible and say, I like these bits about God here and I like these bits about here. I'll take that God, thank you very much. But I don't like that God there. I don't want him. I don't want those commands because, you know, oh no. And if you're not careful, you are not obeying the commands from God, the God of the Bible. The next section, we're told to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength. Familiar words. I'm sure many of you who have been around as Christians a while have heard many sermons on those lines, on this passage. And you always come out at the end saying, right, I'm going to do it. You know, I'm going into tomorrow. I'm going to love the Lord even more. I'm going to do even more. I'm going to pray every day. I'm going to have my devotionals. I'm really going for it. But it's just the same question to ask, in my mind, which God? When I used to work out in the community, one of the biggest questions and conversations I would have with people about God was they would talk about heaven. And they loved the idea of heaven. Nobody, of course, loves the idea of hell. So people would say, oh, yeah, you know, so-and-so is going to go to hell, but so-and-so is going to go to heaven. You know, they're an angel, blah, blah, blah. And I'd say, so you don't, you know, what do you think about heaven? What do you think about hell? People would sort of unpack it a bit. But actually, then you would talk to them, really, they didn't actually believe in hell at all. They just believed in heaven. They just believed in the nice parts. And that's hard. That's hard to have those conversations with people when God is everything. God is multifaceted. God is love. God is judge. God is tough sometimes. Things aren't easy. And is that still the God that we worship? Is that still the God who we can say, that is our God? Jesus, you know, says, love the Lord your God as well. If we look at Matthew 22:34, again, very familiar passage. The Pharisees challenge him and say, which is the greatest commandment? And Jesus replies, love the Lord your God with all your heart and your soul, blah, blah, blah. Secondly, love your neighbour as yourself. It says, all the law and the prophets hang on these two commands. And again in Luke, very similar, but asked in a slightly different context. An expert in the law stood up, this is Luke 10:27. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law? He replied, how do you read it? And he answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbour as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied, do this and you will live. And I just want you to just pause for a minute and ask that question to yourself. Who is the God that you worship? Who is the God that you believe? Verse 13 to 19 talk about fearing the Lord. Fear the Lord your God, serve him only, and take your oaths in his name. Do not follow other gods, the gods of the peoples around you, for the Lord your God who is among you is a jealous God, as his anger will burn against you, and he will destroy you from the face of the land. Do not test the Lord your God as you did at Massah. Be sure to keep the commands of the Lord your God and the stipulations and decrees he has given you. Do what is right and good in the Lord's sight, so that all may go well with you, and you may go in and take over the good land that the Lord promised on oath to your forefathers, thrusting out all your enemies before you, as the Lord said. Do you want to take the promised land? Do you want to move in to that place? I do. Who wouldn't? It's great. There's peace. There's shalom. The land is flowing with milk and honey. The enemies have gone. But many things keep us out of that and keep us away from crossing over into the promised land. We had no coincidence, I think, really, like the last 2 weeks, about a little series on the battle belongs to the Lord. Looking at, you know, what's going on deep down within us. And I think that's big stuff for a lot of people. It's big stuff. Proverbs 19:23 says, the fear of the Lord leads to life. Then one rests content, untouched by trouble. Have you got trouble deep down? Do you know something's not right? We learned from Andy in created in Genesis what happened when Adam and Eve sinned. They were naked, they felt shame, they hid from God. And I think we all know, really, we were created in God's image. We have God's laws engraved on our heart, yet we know when we're sinning. Big word, nobody likes it. We know when we're not living right with God. We know when we're not doing right and good. We get an uneasiness inside of us. We bat it away. You know, we go and do a bit of ministry. We go and have a little prayer session. But we know. Fear the Lord. He is your jealous God. Fear. Woo-hoo, scary fear. Fear, awe, reverent fear. Fear, hey, massive big man up there in the clouds, fear. All of the above. I'm not sure he's big man in the clouds, but sometimes he is, if I'm having a little dream. So, oh, there he is. Are you secure in your faith? Are you secure in God? Do you know who God is? Do you know who God is deep in your heart? Are you resting on a belief of salvation? I'm all right. I'm saved, me. Have my baptism. Said the words. Been a Christian all my life. I know what I'm doing. Got it sorted. Got it sussed. Really? Really? You may be religious. You may put on a good show. You may have never been born again. You may not have that deep peace in your heart. You may be vexed by trouble and strife. Matthew 7:16. By their fruit you will recognize them. Romans 7:4. The redeemed of God belong to him who raised from the dead in order that we might bear fruit for God. Are you fruity? Have you got fruit bursting out of your life, or have you got trouble and strife and issues? I love that word, issues. Have you got issues? It's really, really, really easy to stay away from God. Really easy. It's really easy to say, yes, I love the Lord my God with all my heart, my soul, my strength. But to actually really love God, that's hard. Especially if you're struggling. Especially if you have sin in your life. Especially if you are troubled. People stay away. I see it time and time and time again. People stay away from God. They stay away from church. They stay away from accountability. They stay away from fellowship. Because they know. Maybe you're here today. Maybe you don't know about this. Maybe you're like, well, I don't know about God. I don't know about born again. I don't know about, you know, deep peace and rest. Maybe you want that. Maybe you want a bit of that deep peace and a little bit of that deep rest. Maybe you've just been sat here thinking, oh, am I born again? Well, I don't want to rock anyone's salvation. I just think you need to ask the question. Because you need to be in that place where you can say, I love the Lord, my God, with all my heart, strength and soul, and be clear which God it is. Be clear who God is. All of God. Now we live on the other side now. We live in the world of Jesus. Isn't it great? We don't have to worry about anything. We don't have to worry about all of that. It's all lovely. No, wrong. Because again, that misses who God is in his fullness. That misses the depth of God, the breadth of God. You can't have a bit without the rest. You can't have heaven without hell. And this is another thing I used to say. People believe in heaven, but they don't want to do hell. And I'm like, well, hold on a minute. Heaven, hell. Oh, that's God's domain, isn't it? That's from the God in the Bible, the heaven bit. Oh, and so's the hell bit. You want the nice fluffy Jesus, but you don't want the bit where he comes to judge the living and the dead. We want the nice Jesus who we can sit and have a chat with when we're feeling low, but we don't want the Jesus who tells us to repent when we're sinning. For those of you that know God, you would say, I know God, I know all of that. You'll know that there's good news. You'll know that it's fantastic. You'll know that God is loving and forgiving. We only have to ask for forgiveness, and God gives us that. But again, that's conditional, because you have to ask. Oh, God forgives everything. If you ask, if you go to God and say, actually, you will be forgiven. That's the good news. The grace of God and his forgiveness that we can live in when we ask. And for anyone here who doesn't know God, again, do you want that? Do you want some of that? It's really easy. You just have to say, God, forgive me. God, forgive me for all of the wrongdoing. I want to live with you and I want to live your way. I want that deep peace. You just have to ask. It's not complicated, as I said at the beginning. It's not complicated. We sang this morning, you and I are forgiven and free. Forgiveness and freedom. Big bit here, it says land the plane. I think we'll land the plane. We'll skip that bit. So, just a couple of things to take away and think about then. Which God? And are you ready to come back to that God rather than your own God? Because it is a full-time job. It's not a part-time dalliance going through my tick list, or I've done this, I've done that, I've done the other. I've done me walking, I've done me sitting, I've done me touching. I'm all right now. I can go off and do some sinning. Because, you know, what I do the rest of the day doesn't matter. I'm sure God would rather, well, I hope he does anyway, a little bit of mumbling, of prayer and a little bit of, oh, my life's, you know, what's going on, and forgiveness and apologising, be that running around from here to here and there to there in the busyness of my life, but being close to God all the time. That God, you know, the God of the Bible, not the one I want in my own mind. 2 Corinthians 5:15, and he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. It's not about you guys, it's about him. It's about everything that he is, everything that he has been, everything he has done in your life, everything he's going to do in your life. That is the God that when he says, love me, we are going to take a few minutes, probably less minutes than I originally thought, to reflect and to ponder on those things. But I just want to pray before we do that. Lord God, thank you for your fullness. Lord, thank you for your everything. Lord, thank you that you are all-consuming. Lord, I pray that you will help us, Lord, when we compartmentalize you, Lord, when we create you in our own image. Lord, help us to see you in your fullness. Lord, thank you that you have revealed yourself to us through your word. Help us, Lord, to grasp the fullness of that. Amen.